WCEU.
The Bob Siegel Show is brought to you in part by Web Studio, Primetime Advertising Corporation, and the Law Office of Thomas Pinkerton. The views and opinions are solely those of the host and guests and do not necessarily represent KCBQ or its sponsors. It's time now for the Bob Siegel Show, a religious open forum where all questions are welcome. And now, here's your host, Christian apologist, Bob Siegel.
And this is Bob Siegel. So, you'd like to believe in God, but Christians are always acting like some kind of exclusive club, waving their little Bibles around, telling you that Jesus is the only means of salvation, telling you that Jesus is the only way to God. How arrogant is that? How can there be only one way to God? What about other religions? Or not just religions, what about other supernatural experiences? Horoscopes, tarot cards, Ouija boards, tea leaves, palm reading, witchcraft becoming very popular today. Aren't those supernatural experiences too? Well, oftentimes they are. There's some phony baloney out there, but oftentimes they are genuine supernatural experience. The question you need to ask yourself, though, is this. What is the source of those supernatural experiences? Are they really coming from the one true God of the universe? Or does God have an enemy that the Bible would call Satan, a master at counterfeit, a master at camouflage, who mimics the power of God to fool you, to deceive you? Well, I have a guest today who was once deceived herself, but not anymore. Marcia Fisher is on staff here at Pleasant Valley Church. I'm on location today in Thomason, Georgia. We've had other interviews of people miraculously healed, and many of these people, after they get healed, want to share it with others. Marcia, thank you so much for joining us today.
I'm glad to be here.
Now, you did not grow up in the church, I understand.
No, I didn't.
And what is your back? Tell us a little bit about your background.
Well, I was born and raised in California, from Fresno, actually. And my father was raised Catholic. My mother was a Baptist. But as adults, neither one of them practiced their religion.
So were you dragged to church as a kid?
No, I
wasn't. Wasn't even part of the equation?
Well, I went with a little girl who lived across the street to Christian Science Sunday School. That was my first introduction to church. And it really wasn't until I was in college that I went to, I explored Christianity. But I couldn't accept the idea that Jews were going to hell. So that ended
because you had some Jewish friends?
I did. And, well, I mean, I just was a thinker, and it just didn't make sense to me. And I talked to the youth counselor about it and the youth pastor, and she told me something that sounded very strange about going into this place similar to purgatory, and they would be able to make up their mind then whether mm-hmm. they wanted to believe Jesus. And then I thought, that doesn't make sense to me, so I dropped out of church.
Well, you know, when you think about it, that's not really an unfair response on your part. Christians are really good at preaching but not explaining things. To just hear that if somebody's not a Christian, they're going to hell without an explanation of why, or the way we've injured God, or the sin that comes between, I can see how that would bother. Of course, I'm speaking as one who did grow up Jewish, and I didn't believe Jews or anybody were going to hell, but I hadn't yet understood that I have this selfish side of my nature that the Bible calls sin, and that did make a big difference to me. So you were a little bit turned off for that reason. What happened next in your search?
Well, I got into drugs. It was during the late 60s, early 70s, and through a boyfriend, I got introduced to marijuana, and I was a hippie for a number of years, and I did that whole hippie thing.
The good old 60s.
Yes, the good old 60s. And following that experience, I started following a guru. I was tormented. I was tormented. I had a lot of fear, and I recognized that it wasn't me. It seemed strange that all of a sudden I was tormented by this fear. And so I was searching for peace of mind. And I was going to a meditation class where we were reading Baba Ram Dass' book, Be Here Now. And then I had a friend at work who invited me to go to her meditation class. And it turned out to be a meeting of one of the gurus in this country. And that hooked me. The people there were very high, happy, and I had not experienced anybody being so high unless they were tripping on acid or something. And it just felt good to be around all these happy people. We referred to it as being blissed out. And I started following the guru, and I did that for 18 years. I did his spiritual meditations faithfully. Every day for 18 years, I was, you know, vegetarian and just followed the whole path. We went to meetings every night where we would talk about him and talk about supposed, you know, spiritual truths, etc.
Now, the guru, of course, traces itself back to Eastern mysticism, Hinduism.
Absolutely. Except the interesting thing was that he always said, I am not teaching you Hinduism. This is knowledge of God, which is above all religions.
There's a million definitions
to
God. But
that wasn't
his definition.
True. Yeah. That wasn't
true. It really was going back to Hinduism.
It absolutely was, because we were doing meditations, turning inward, you know, blanking out the mind, focusing on inner light, inner sound, things of that nature. And that was supposed to be God.
Yeah, it's interesting that you mentioned blanking out the mind, because I know the Bible uses the word meditation too, but isn't it true that what the Bible means when it says meditate on God and what Eastern mysticism means when it says meditate are two completely different things?
Absolutely.
Well, tell us what the Bible's understanding of meditation would be, and then contrast that with the Eastern one.
The Eastern meditation is a passive meditation.
You're
where
emptying
you
want your mind.
You want to get rid of your mind, yes.
And that makes you susceptible to other influences.
Yes. Yes, it really opens you up to anything spiritual that happens to be around at the time.
Which they would call gods, but the Bible would say that these are demonic evil spirits impersonating gods.
Yes, yes. But biblical meditation is active as opposed to passive, and the mind is engaged. And often you're meditating on a scripture, and you may be looking the words up, the meaning of the words, you know, talking to God about it, asking for revelation, for understanding. But the mind is engaged, and it's an active process.
That's a very – thank you for clarifying that. That's such an important distinction, because people need to understand that you could hear the same word, and different groups can mean different things. So when they say God and meditation in one religion, it's not what the Bible means when they say God and meditation. We need to get over this idea that people have that all religions are basically teaching the same thing. They're not all teaching the
same thing. They're not.
And we need to understand that. Okay, so you got involved with the guru. What happened next on your little pilgrimage?
Well, I started getting sensitive to things in my environment, and it came on slowly over many years.
Just getting
years.
Allergic to almost everything?
Well, I was allergic to pollens and dust, and then it started in with fabrics. I noticed that certain clothes, synthetic clothes, I had trouble wearing, sitting on upholstery or cars, things like that, that I would have allergic reactions. And it just kept progressing till I became totally disabled with multiple chemical sensitivities, also known as environmental illness.
Is that becoming a more common disease today? It seems like I'm hearing more about that every
year.
Yes,
I think it is.
Why do you think that's multiplying so much? What's going on in our country that's causing so many people to get this? It seems like even 30, 40 years ago, you didn't hear at least as much about that.
Well, that's true. One of the things that I've learned here from Pastor Wright's ministry is that it's really the spiritual dynamics that are making us sick. And in the case of environmental illness, fear is one of the main dynamics. Now, I just think as a culture, we have more fear today. After 9/11 and threats of anthrax and terrorists, and there's just so much going on that I believe that there is more fear.
You know, we're a very comfortable society because of our technology, but in a way, we're more afraid than any other generation, it seems.
Yes, I think that's true. And then there's also just a lot of attention in the media about how toxic our environment is, the air, the water, the food, the soil is lacking nutrients. And so we're bombarded by the whole natural health community trying to sell us this supplement because we need it, and filter our air and then filter our water this.
Don't some of these supplements make us even worse?
They definitely can, yes.
This is amazing. And, of course, you know, there are some toxics being put in our pollution, but I think what I hear you saying is people talk so much about it that the fear itself could create these problems. But they are real problems. I'll be back with my very special guest, Marcia, when we return. You're listening to The Bob Segal Show.
These days you need a website, and if you don't have one, you'll be like my friend Arnold, who finally switched from a manual to an electric typewriter when everyone else already had a personal computer. And the day I tried to talk him into a website, just listen in.
Forget it, too expensive.
Then how are you going to market your company? People need information.
There's still a device called a telephone.
Telephone? You're talking like Fred Flintstone. How are they going to see your logo, your graphics and pictures, your store?
There's a lovely brochure that we send out.
Have you any idea how much money you spend every year to print these brochures?
Yeah, right. How about the cost of having a website hosted? Not to mention the time, the complicated software, the hiring of a designer.
All of those difficulties are removed when you use Web Studio.
That name sounds familiar.
Web Studio is a website design software. It enables you to create your own pages in minutes without hiring a designer. All you do is use your mouse to drag and drop images and text, then it saves the pages for you on the internet. The program includes 14 design galleries that contain graphics, sounds, and anything else you need.
I didn't know it could be so easy and quick. Maybe it is time for me to step into the 20th century.
Arnold, it's the 21st century. For information on Web Studio, go to webstudio.com.
This is Bob Segal, and I like to make the obvious obvious. People always ask me whether or not the Bible talks about abortion. Well, it does in an indirect way. You may remember that Mary, the mother of Jesus, when she was pregnant with baby Jesus, visited her aunt Elizabeth, who was going to be the mother of John the Baptist. John the Baptist, still in the womb, leaped with joy inside the womb in the presence of baby Jesus. She was about 6 months along. This says something about the personification of this fetus, which the Bible would have called a baby. But you know, last year around Christmas time, they came out with a card, a Christmas pro-choice card. And a famous feminist went on the Bill O'Reilly show saying that she believed that Jesus would appreciate this card. There's a question I would have loved to have asked her. Would it have been an option for Mary, the mother of Jesus, to decide that what she did with her own body was her own choice? Merely asking a question. Merely Bob Segal making the obvious obvious. Welcome back to News Talk 1170 KCBQ. Marcia Fisher out at Pleasant Valley Church in Thomaston, Georgia, on staff at the church, is my guest today. And Marcia, you're a dedicated Christian now, but you were telling us about some of the different things you got involved with before that, some of the things that you and I would both believe come from a spiritual enemy of God named Satan. I know there are people out there who don't believe Satan really exists, that's okay. You believe what you want. Any minute now, your phone call is going to ring, and it's going to be an old friend you hadn't heard from for years, or you're going to get hungry, or you're going to need to go to the bathroom. Something's going to happen to tempt you to stop listening to this program. But you want to ignore that and listen anyway, because you'd be surprised what you might believe when we're done. You were talking about following the guru, who was denying that he was part of Hinduism, but he really was.
Yes, yes. And see, the thing about occultism is once you do one activity, what it does is it opens you up to the next, and then the next, and then the next. And I got into astrology. One day I woke up, and I had this experience of, I call it dissociation now. I didn't know what it was at the time. But I felt like there was something definitely wrong with my mind. I couldn't think. It was the strangest experience, and it was very frightening. And at the time, I was working as a medical social worker with oncology patients. So I went to one of the doctors, and in my frame of reference, I thought I had a brain tumor. And so they gave me these tests, and they told me there was nothing wrong with me, and then they tried to convince me that I was depressed. And I said, no, I'm not depressed. I'm anxious because I'm having all of these symptoms. Well, anyway, the symptoms went away finally after several weeks, but I happened to be in one of the metaphysical bookstores in Berkeley, California.
There's a great place to go shopping.
Yes,
what they call Berkeley these days.
Yes, Shambhala was the name of it. Nice Eastern name also. But I was, just looking at this astrology book that was talking about the transits of the planets. And I knew enough about my chart as to what was going on. And I was reading about the transit of the planet Neptune, and it described my symptoms to a T. And I thought, wow, I thought this astrology book knows more about what's going on with me than the doctors.
Now, some people would say today that that's phony, but you're saying that there really was something to this.
Well,
maybe from an evil source.
The way I see it now is I think it was all planned out by Satan, you know, that he had his design for my life. And
he knew what would reach you. He knew what would push your buttons.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the experience of the dissociation that I was having, that in itself, I believe now, is a symptom of occultism. But then I went into more occultism.
It was like dominoes tipping.
Yes, yes, yes. So I became an astrologer.
And who predicted people's astrologies.
Oh, yes, yes. I did all my friends' chart. Bruce, Anita, you know, I had a chart. I mean, I had a file of about 150 charts. I had a whole bookcase of astrology books, and I had read them all. And I really got into it very, very heavily.
And this is not to promote astrology again, because neither of us believes it. But let me ask, when you made these astrological predictions to your friends, were most of them coming back with feedback that they were actually accurate? Were you finding genuine power here?
Yes, it's psychic power, and it's power from the enemy.
Now, why would the enemy, let's just use our imaginations here, why would the enemy want somebody to get into astrology? What is he going to get out of it, and what would it have done to you if ultimately you had stayed with astrology? What do you think was his plan here?
Well, my destruction, and I don't, let's see if I can articulate how that was happening. I mean, I used to stare at charts, and I would get lost in the chart. I would go into an altered state of consciousness, and the chart would start speaking to me and telling me about the person, you know, that I was reading their chart. And I would get lost in these worlds of consciousness, and at the same time, it was very frightening. There was a very frightening element to it.
And, of course, fear wraps you even more into Satan's arm, doesn't it?
Yes, and it caused me to become more and more ill with the environmental sensitivities, so much to the point where I could not breathe the outside air. I had to wear a mask, and then I graduated to an industrial respirator, and I wore that every day that I went outside.
Oh, my goodness.
Couldn't even have a window open in my apartment without getting really ill.
You continued doing astrology throughout this?
I was doing all kinds of psychic things.
And you weren't relating one to the other, though. You
no,
were getting your power over here, and your
yeah.
immune disease was
yeah.
kind of a separate
yeah.
thing in your
yeah.
mind.
Well, and then I started trying to heal myself. with using all kinds of psychic devices. I became a practitioner of radionics, and I taught Bruce Gridley how to use the pendulum. Anita Hill taught me how to use the pendulum, and then I taught him.
Tell us a little bit what the pendulum is for those
who are... Well, the pendulum is just an object that, you know, I used to use my T-ball because it was convenient, but we would hold foods or supplements in our hand, and then you'd hold the pendulum over it, and if it went one direction, it was yes, and if it went the other direction, it was no. So we tested all our foods. We were afraid of putting anything in our mouth. We were so sensitive. So we were looking for a means of testing. Is this going to be safe for me? Is this going to be okay? Wow. And that's how we got into the pendulum.
So there's really a lot of irony here, because the very disease that was a result of your occultism, Satan is now using to exploit you and get you even more into the occultism, because he's telling you that you have to use this pendulum to find out which food you could eat, which you wouldn't have been allergic to in the first place if you hadn't gotten involved with this kind of sorcery in the first place.
Yeah. And then I got into Anita and I got into radionics.
What is radionics?
Well, that's another... Well, it's illegal for... personal health issues, but we bought these machines that were very expensive, and they were little psychic devices that we put our picture in a well so that the machine could identify that it was treating us and not someone else. You could put, you know, a lock of hair in the well.
And what is this, to predict your future?
You would dial your symptoms away.
Oh, I see. It was a way of, so it was an
attempt
to heal.
It was an energy type of healing. Of it, like every symptom had energy readings on these dials, and so you'd set the dials, and then anyway.
There's a lot of talk about the energy of the universe today. I mean, even beyond radionics, isn't there? Isn't that a big thing that we're hearing channeling energy and things like that?
Well, that's the basis of most of your false religions and your alternative medicine. It's based on energy. But okay. See, God is not energy. God is a person.
A person, not a
he
human.
He is a person,
but a,
and you
a
can
person.
Have a relationship with him.
It's not like
you
Star Wars where
him.
God is the force. God is a real thinking, feeling being that we can talk to, who can talk to us.
Yes, you have a relationship. It's not something that you feel and you merge into and you get lost into. I mean, all that comes from your Eastern religion.
Okay, so you were into astrology and the pendulum and radiology. What other things, and how, where did this finally take you? How did you finally get to Christianity?
Well, it took me so far down in terms of my health. I was sensitive to all my clothes. I couldn't wash my clothes and wear them again.
That's almost unthinkable. How did you get through one day?
It was very bizarre. I wore one old pair of jeans and a flannel shirt every day for 10 months, and I wasn't able to wash it. And I laugh now, or I say, well, that was an unclean spirit. They talk about unclean spirits in the Bible.
That wouldn't let you go near laundry detergent.
Absolutely. Yeah. But what I would do every day is I would get up and I would experiment washing my clothes in different substances, looking for something that I can tolerate.
Wow.
And then drying them. You know, I mean, I filtered the water on my washing machine, also on the sink. I always use filtered water. Special soap. Then if I dried it in the dryer, they would smell like the dryer for at least a week and I couldn't tolerate it. Or if I dried it overnight in the bathroom, it would be moldy. I mean, it was a insanity. And I was in fear. Winter was coming and I was in fear that I would not have anything to wear. So I was driven to try to find something that would work so that I would have some clothes that I could put on my back. And that was my life every day.
Wow. What brought you to Christianity finally?
Well, my friend Anita called me one day, and she had spoken with her former roommate, and this gal who was Jewish had become saved and healed.
Okay, this is fascinating. We're going to pick this up when we come back from our break. We're talking to Marcia Fisher out in Pleasant Valley Church in Thomaston, Georgia. You're listening to The Bob Siegel Show. This is Bob Siegel. With the wiring in your home, you don't want to mess around with some unknown electrician. For all you know, he may have gotten his license by sending in 3 serial box tops.
Hey, these things happen. There's nothing wrong with my wiring. Houses burn down. If you wanted a guarantee, you should have ordered the deluxe package.
Folks, play it smart. Call WNS Electric Incorporated. They specialize in contracting and repair. From troubleshooting to remodeling to circuit breakers and fuses, WNS takes a skilled but personal interest in your home at affordable rates. I use them myself, and I wouldn't call anyone else. Call 619-447-8785. That's 447-8785 for WNS Electric. License number 480539. WNS Electric.
We now return to the Bob Siegel Show.
Welcome back to our program. This is News Talk 1170 KCBQ. Marcia Fisher is my very special guest who, in her own way, searched for God. God said God is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him, but sometimes people go through false religions and even what we would call the occult. Marcia was involved in astrology and many other things. And then you were saying right before our break, you met a woman named Anita Hill, who we've had on our program before with an amazing story of her own, and also a Jewish woman. And that was about where we left off.
Yes. Well, Anita was a good friend of mine, and she had called me and told me about this other mutual friend of ours, of how she had been saved and healed. And it was so astounding to me, because I knew this other woman. She was very intellectual. She was Jewish. She was leftist politics. She was a feminist, etc., the whole nine yards, like I was. And for her to make this paradigm shift and to become a Christian was just amazing to me. So I spent the rest of the afternoon crying, and Anita didn't understand why I was crying. She said, "Aren't you happy she's healed?" And well, it didn't have anything to do with that. I was grieving because I looked around my apartment and I was just talking to God, and I was saying, like, do I have to become a Christian to be saved?
That could sound pretty,
you know,
depressing.
That was about the last, I mean, I'd never even considered that. It was so far afield from where I was, you know, politically, spiritually, socially, etc.
And you'd been turned off by Christianity years ago, probably a false version of it.
Well,
but you'd been turned off.
I'd had some other negative experiences along the way, and I thought that Christians were very judgmental, prejudiced, narrow-minded people. That was my opinion.
And folks, the reason she said that is because many Christians are prejudiced, narrow-minded,
well,
judgmental, but they don't have to be, but a lot of them are.
Part of what I didn't realize, that many of the, you know, the beliefs and the attitudes of Christians is based on Scripture. And I'd never read the Bible. I didn't know that, you know, to be against abortion was not just a personal choice, but that is what God wants. He's against abortion.
Absolutely.
And so that's where that belief comes from, and that way of living comes from. It comes from the Word of God, which I never knew because I'd never read it before.
Isn't it interesting, and I don't just mean you personally, how we as human beings could be drawn to something like an astrology chart and want to investigate it, but the concept that God might have just talked to people without using the constellation, just talked plainly and had them write it down. Why does that sound so bizarre, whereas all this other pie in the sky is something that people will look into first?
Well, the people that get into all the astrology and things like that, I think what comes along with that is a spiritual orientation that makes you want to stay away from the Lord, the living God, Jesus, the Father, the Holy Spirit. There are, I would call them Antichrist spirits.
They are, and some of them even come in the name of Jesus, don't they? False, but Jesus warned us about false prophets coming in his name.
Yeah. Well, anyway, back to my afternoon of grieving, I looked around my apartment, and I realized that if I became a Christian, everything would have to go. I had a statue of Buddha. I had a Sufi statue. I had pictures of the guru all around. I had, you know, 150 astrology books. I had books on psychic healing. I made my own homeopathic remedies on the radionics machine. I just looked around and I knew that all of this was not compatible with Christianity and it would have to go.
And this is basically life as you knew it at this point.
Absolutely.
So you were probably wondering, absolutely, who would you even be? What would your identity
but
be?
But you know what? I was desperate and I was so far down and I knew that I was dying.
And it was obvious this stuff wasn't helping you, even though you tried
it
for years.
In fact, I was talking to God about that and I said, well, I think I know so much and I am so spiritual, but I'm a mess and I can't help myself. And I saw that, you know, it's like all my knowledge, all my healing knowledge, all my practices, etc., didn't do me any good.
And you're wondering why God didn't help you. And he's saying, because it's been the wrong God. This God that you've been serving is somebody who masquerades as God, but is not in fact God, but is his mortal enemy, Satan.
That's true. But at that point, I didn't know.
You didn't know. You were just reaching out to whatever God was there.
I believe there was one God, many different paths to God.
Right.
And I had never considered Christianity. So now I was going to consider Christianity.
And God met you where you were. You didn't have to understand it all. To just reach a point of desperation and cry out to him, he was right there for you.
Yes, and I called the Pastor Wright's church, and they were on the East Coast, we were on the West Coast, and I began doing ministry over the telephone with them. And the very first conversation I had with the phone ministry, she was telling me about the devil. And it made perfect sense to me because I had been telling my therapist, who was a psychic, and I was going to this minister of a church that was not a traditional church, and I'd been telling both of them that I felt there was an evil force trying to keep me down, that no matter what I did, I just got worse. I didn't get better. Other people would get better, but I would get worse. So when she started telling me about the devil's plan for my life,
you were ready.
I said, yes, that's what's happening
to me.
Just
put a name and a face on this evil force that you were thinking about.
It did, and it made perfect sense. So I began doing a Bible study over the telephone. And it wasn't too long until I accepted the Lord Jesus as my Savior over the telephone.
That's amazing. And then when did you move out here to Georgia?
Well, I didn't move initially. I came in August of 1992. And the first time I came, I stayed 5 months and received major healing during that time. Went back to California, stayed almost a year in California before I came back again. And for several years, I was going back and forth. I would come here and I would serve in the ministry, stay a little while. And then I thought I would never move out of California. I was a Californian through and through. And it was in 1997 that I finally moved here.
That's interesting. Now, you were healed completely of your autoimmune deficiency. Are you now completely healed of that?
I did not have autoimmune. I had the multiple chemical
What's the difference between that and the autoimmune? That some people get that confused.
The other one's
just about your immune system in general.
Well, your immune system reacting to everything in the environment.
In the environment.
And you know, people think, well, allergic, you know, maybe you have a little sneeze. No, I would have like a respiratory flu that would put me to bed for 3 weeks because I breathed the outside air.
Okay.
I mean, that it was extreme. Just another area of symptoms was with my mind. I would get dizzy. I couldn't talk. I couldn't remember. I couldn't think. And we call those symptoms like cerebrals or foggy brain syndrome. And little did I know that those symptoms were a result of all the occultism that I had indulged in for over 20 years.
Which you're not going to hear from a doctor. Were the doctors giving you any kind of hope at all, or were they telling you you were going to have this the rest of your life? What were the doctors
saying?
Well,
they were they were trying to give me hope and saying, well, I could get better. And I was doing all kinds of immune treatments like IV gamma globulin and transfer factor and things like that. But it wasn't helping. I wasn't getting better. I was getting worse. I was getting more sensitive all the time.
Now, the Bible teaches us that when we get these kinds of illnesses, not every illness, but a good deal of them, what's going on is that demons are exploiting certain emotions, such as fear, such as bitterness. And then since the mind has an effect upon the body, that's what's making us sick. But by getting into the occult, that was just agitating your fears even more. Isn't that true?
It was. But see, I spent so much time going into altered state of consciousness, doing the meditations every day, studying the astrology, that it was affecting my central nervous system. I ran across an article in Newsweek, I think it was 2003, and it was called God and the Brain. And what they did is they took people in meditative states and put them through these brain scans, and they discovered that the brain is actually altered, that certain parts of the brain are shut down when you're in these meditative states.
That's actually been a studied, proven thing.
Yes, yes. In fact, the part of the brain that is suppressed is the part that gives you a sense that you exist in time and space. And so when that is suppressed, then you have these experiences of leaving your body and merging with the cosmos and all that kind of stuff.
You're just not centered at all. Okay, well, center yourself on your radio dial, because we are going to be right back in the time and space of News Talk 1170 KCBQ.
How many times have you heard the phrase, "they're all the same," applied to local contractors? It is unfortunate that a few can tarnish the reputations of many, but it sure is nice when you find a contractor with godly principles. But what if they only do floors or only the painting? What if you want to build a whole new home, or you want someone to fully complete your remodel or tenant improvements? You need ProBuilt. Serving San Diego since 1987, residential and commercial, quality work completed on time. Local Christian businessman and president of ProBuilt, Jim Bell, said, "When people pay you to do a job, they simply want you to do the job. They expect quality work, and they expect it to be done on time. We do that at ProBuilt." For references and dozens of pictures of both residential and commercial work, visit our website, ProBuiltInc.com. That's ProBuiltInc.com. Or call our El Cajon office at 619-593-2965. We're fully bonded and insured. California State License Number 567925. ProBuilt.
This is Bob Siegel. If you've ever wondered who hosts the Bob Siegel Show, well, that would be me. As you probably know, KCBQ has a sister station, KPRZ, and on KPRZ, the Bob Siegel Show has a sister show. It's called City Voice. It's hosted by my very good friend George Runyon. It's on at 9 o'clock Sunday mornings, KPRZ 1210 on the dial, just a little farther from 1170. Every week, George interviews a different ministry, a different local ministry here in the San Diego area. I've been a guest on George's show. He's been a guest on mine. In fact, he's going to be our guest 2 weeks from now. We're going to talk about the subject of healing. But in the meantime, I know you're going to want to catch City Voice with George Runyon every Sunday morning, 9 o'clock. It'll make your pleasant drive to church just a little more pleasant. Welcome back to News Talk 1170 KCBQ. This is Bob Siegel with Marcia Fisher. We're talking about the occult. Marcia is an expert on the occult. She was once in the occult, but I want to make this very clear. She no longer has anything to do with the occult experientially. She's warning people to avoid it. And Marcia, you have written a book. Tell us a little bit about that. What's your book called?
Well, it's called A New Song from Marcia, and it's taken from Psalm 40. He brought me up out of the miry pit and has put my feet upon a rock and put a new song in my heart.
Wow.
Praises to our God.
Some good news to all of us.
Absolutely good news, yes. But the book is my autobiography. And what I didn't mention, when I got saved, I was 50 years old. So I had lived a long time in the world before I ever accepted the Lord. And this book is just the story of my life, the sin issues in my life, how it made me ill, the experience of disability that I went through for so many, in isolation that I went through for several years, and then how I got healed through Jesus Christ.
Okay, when is this book coming out, and how could people in our audience get a copy of it?
Well, it's going to be out within the next couple of months, and okay. I'm sure that we will be selling it here at Pleasant Valley.
It's published
Church.
By Pleasant Valley. They have a publishing department.
It is not yet published.
Right, but it will be published, and you think it'll be out in a couple of months?
Hopefully.
Okay. Is there a give a website and phone number of Pleasant Valley just for people to get more information about the church in general? But also maybe, I'm sure the church would probably be happy to take some pre-ordered for your book. I can't promise that because I'm not from the church, but I imagine they wouldn't be too opposed to that. What's the phone number and website of Pleasant Valley Church in Thomaston, Georgia?
Okay, well, the ministry is Be In Health, so it's www.beinhealth.com, and we have an 800 number. It's 800-453-5775.
Why don't you give that phone number one more time?
1-800-453-5775.
Okay, because there may be people out there that want to call this church and find out about coming out to some of these seminars called For My Life. Be In Health is the ministry, and people come from all over the world to the ministry. You don't have to be a member of the church. There's about 100 or so, I think, in the church, but people are coming from all over the world, and 3 weeks out of the month, they're holding these seminars, and it's not a guarantee that you're going to get instantly healed. Aren't they learning principles about how they can deal with the demonic world and give their lives over to God?
Absolutely, and I teach on the occult in those seminars, and it's amazing that the Christians that come here and they think, oh, I never had anything to do with the occult, and what they don't realize is how much it is a part of our society, and the teaching is really an eye-opener. They learn a lot, and then it's, oh, yeah, I did that. And so,
well, if Satan can get into the church, then we've got this fifth column in our territory in this warfare. Well, I was here in May, and I took your seminar. You just did a fantastic, excellent job. Let's see if we can teach just a little of it. Explain some of the occultish practices that people would stay away from. Maybe start with the obvious ones, and then let's work to some of the less obvious ones that may have filtered into the church, because the Christian part of our audience needs to be challenged today also. What would be some obvious cults?
Well, the obvious things are, you know, Ouija board, fortune telling, astrology, tea leaf reading, crystal ball reading, palm reading, handwriting analysis, those kinds of things.
So people may be listening going, well, wait, these are all different things. Well, folks, they may be different things, but you have to remember Satan has 1,000 masks. So the mask is different, but it's the same old skunk behind every mask. And you need to know that in the midst of this, there are two sources of power, God or Satan's. Only God is going to be singular and clear. Satan's is going to have 1,000 masks. What are some other ones, Marcia?
Well, the ones that I just mentioned, actually all of them are means of knowing the future, using the devil to find out what is in your future.
And now, we're fascinated by that. Don't we all want to know what our future is? So you can see how he just lures people in like a Pied Piper.
Yes, but see, that's not God's plan for your
future.
Not
at all.
That's the enemy's plan for your future.
And God's not in the business of telling the future. Yes, he sometimes uses prophets, but God's much more interested in what's going on in our present and maybe some things that went on in our past and in future generations that put us in the condition that we're in now.
Yes, you're talking about sin.
Yes, absolutely. And these other religions conspicuously avoid sin, don't they?
There is no sin.
There is no sin. Define good, define evil.
Everything
we're all one.
If everything is God and there's nothing outside of God, then there's no evil, is there? There's no good or evil. It's just all God.
Everything is God. That's a big
that's
word,
a
everything. That means Adolf Hitler was part of
yes,
God.
I mean, that's a lie of the enemy.
Yeah, I think when people say everything, they're thinking of the trees and the forest, but everything's a big thing. I drank orange juice this morning. I don't think I was drinking God, but we don't always think about it quite that way. Okay, tell us some other things that are in the occult. What are some things that Christians might think are okay, but could actually be more cultish than than we believe.
Well, a lot of your alternative medicine employs occult means, and there are many Christian practitioners of alternative medicine, acupuncture, homeopathy. This is all energy medicine, dealing with invisible energies that are manipulated with herbs or acupuncture needles or manipulations of the body, or just, you know, channeling energy from one person to another. Christians often fall into those kinds of modalities.
Why do Christians who have a relationship with God need to involve themselves with some other kind of energy? And if a Christian were to say, well, what's wrong with using energy? What would you say to them?
Well, the word tells us that my people perished for lack of knowledge. And I think, I'm not speaking against anyone. I know everyone's heart is for helping and for healing, but they just lack knowledge.
They mean well, but they're being very sincerely deceived.
Right, right. And, you know, just to take, if we talk about Chinese medicine or we talk about acupuncture, it really comes out of another religion. It comes out of Taoism, and it's based on principles of yin-yang.
Tell us a little bit about the yin-yang, because aren't they saying that basically there's no good and evil in the...
Well, the yin-yang is opposite. The yin-yang symbol, which I'm sure everybody knows, it's a circle with an S down the middle, and one side is black and the other side is white. And the circle represents God, and within God there are these opposites, black and white. Yin-yang literally means the sunny and shady side of the hill, but it's all aspects of the one. And so all your diseases are either yin diseases or yang diseases, and your foods are yin or yang, and your herbs are yin or yang. And environmental illness was considered to be a yin disease, a feminine disease, a disease of hypersensitivity. So their way of dealing with it is to give you yang foods, yang herbs, you know, use the needles to balance your energies and get it flowing and all that sort of thing. But as a Christian, I would not want to expose myself to those religious principles coming out of another religion.
Where in the Bible, can you tell us where it tells us to avoid these kinds of things? Like, I know that I think in Leviticus and Deuteronomy, they certainly talk about some of this stuff, but not all these modern terms are found in the Bible because they're modern, but what are some of the biblical terms that we're told to stay away from where somebody could say, okay, I'm convinced that the Bible really is condemning these practices?
Well, there's a well-known scripture in Deuteronomy 18. I think it's around verse 13. I'm not exactly sure, but several practices are listed. One is called an observer of times, and I think that's referring to astrology. Certainly sorcery, divination, soothsaying. Soothsaying is an old, you know, term for a fortune teller or a sorcerer. Necromancy is in that list. And isn't that interesting? Because necromancy is so popular these days. Oh. Necromancy is having conversations with people who've already died.
Okay, and we're going to talk about what's wrong with having conversation with people who already died. And our conversation will be with you when we return. You're listening to The Bob Siegel Show. Looking to build your own website without a lot of cost and trouble? Hi, I'm Bob Siegel, here to tell you about Web Studio. Web Studio allows people to create their own websites simply and easily without knowing HTML. With Web Studio, you avoid the learning curve of front page and the expense of a web designer. Web Studio has 14 different galleries that contain graphics, sounds, and everything else you need. For more information about Web Studio, go to webstudio.com.
KCBQ salutes those who serve. thank you for your service from News Talk 1170 KCBQ, where your opinion counts.
When you're trying to make an indelible impression, you never compromise. Birmingham Press sets the standard for uncompromising quality with every printing project. From business cards to books, there is no order too large or too small. Whether you need a box of envelopes or you're publishing a book, Birmingham Press will treat you like you're their only client. Using their online customer service center at birminghampress.com, you can request an estimate, place and manage your order, and review your proof. Never compromise. Choose Birmingham Press. Call 800-899-PRINT or go to birminghampress.com.
We now return to the Bob Siegel Show.
Welcome back to News Talk 1170. Marcia, we're down to our last 5 minutes, and we'll be in the middle of something before we start. So before we continue our conversation, let me at this time thank you so much for coming on our program. I know that you're right on the threshold of spiritual warfare. Satan does not like being exposed. You're exposing him, and I'm going to ask all of our Christians in the audience to just lift Marcia up in prayer, because he will do anything he can. Fortunately, we serve a God of mercy and of better power, more genuine power. So we have that hope and that trust. Now, you were talking about necromancy, which was a conversation with the dead. Tell us more about that and why that's wrong.
Well, the scripture we were talking about was in Deuteronomy 18, and God says very clearly that people who do these practices are an abomination to him. That's a very strong word. When I read that, I did not want to be an abomination to God. And he's being very specific. He's saying, don't do these practices.
And his reason for saying not to do those practices is that that puts them in the grip of Satan, that it's just frankly going to destroy them.
Yes.
God's not saying, I'm having a hernia because you're doing these practices. God's trying to look out for our welfare.
He's trying to protect us.
He knows that we're being deceived. Now, martial arts is something that's been popular for years, even here in America. And there are Christian churches that are even doing classes on martial arts and martial arts for Jesus. But I remember in your seminar that I took last May that you were saying that that, too, is of the occult. I think that would probably be of a surprise to some of our listeners. Tell us a little bit about that.
Well, what we believe here and what we teach is that you cannot separate the practice from the spirituality that is behind the practice. And your martial arts come out of Buddhism, come out of Taoism, and we can talk about yoga. You know, people say, well, I'm not into Hinduism. I just like to stretch.
I'm just learning to stretch and relax. They're going to say, what's wrong with that?
Well, many of those postures that you take are Hindu gods.
And you're opening yourself up to Hindu gods. And if those gods don't really exist, then again, you're opening yourself up to
and
demons.
The postures are designed to awaken the Kundalini, which comes right out of Hinduism, which opens you up to the spirit world, you know, can give you psychic gifts, but those gifts are not from God.
And we want to be clear on this, because there are clubs that do and churches that do yoga for Jesus, right?
Yes.
It's interesting the way we always have to market
well,
Jesus, yoga for Jesus, bowling for blessings. Christians always have to get into something like this.
Let's talk about, I mean, anyone who's ever studied yoga is familiar with one of the basic postures, which is called exaltation of the sun, S-U-N. Well, you know what that is? That's sun worship coming out of Hinduism. So a Christian does it. They change the name of they say, well, this is just a warm-up exercise. Does that take the thousands of years of Hinduism out of the posture? I don't think so. You'd have to ask yourself this question.
That might have been one of those things where Jesus would say it's like mixing new wine with old wineskins. It's not a good mix.
Well, he's a jealous God, and he doesn't want to share us with anyone.
And he doesn't want to share us for his own benefit. Are there other practices that have gotten into the church that you would call the occult? We mentioned martial arts, yoga.
I'm not thinking of anything offhand besides all of the alternative medicine. And there's a lot of supplements. A lot of Christians are into, you know, selling supplements, green drinks, things like that. And they get into multi-level marketing, and
it's a big business.
It's a big business.
Yeah, and aside from that, the multi-level marketing figured out how to eliminate their PR budget by getting you to put pressure on your friends to buy things. They're just a bad deal all around, I think. Isn't it true that the Greek word for drugs was pharmakia, which comes to our English word pharmacy, really meant sorcery? Pharmacy was sorcery.
Well, pharmakia is medicine, is what it is.
So it's
translated in the New Testament as witchcraft.
And so a lot of times when we just think we're taking medicine, we could be opening up our mind to altered states. Not that we could avoid all medicine, but some medicines could actually be opening ourselves up to the demonic today.
That's true. I think you've just opened a whole nother subject.
Well, that'll be a subject that we'll talk about next time. Marcia, thank you so much for joining us. Join us next week. This is Bob Siegel, just making the obvious obvious.
Thank you for listening to The Bob Siegel Show. The views and opinions are solely those of the host and guests and do not necessarily represent KCBQ or its sponsors. The Bob Siegel Show was brought to you in part by the Law Office of Thomas Pinkerton, helping infertile families have children. Tom Pinkerton would like to invite you to help Bob expand his radio program by donations or sponsorship. For more information about Bob's ministry, go to www.bobsiegel.net. Here, you can read Bob's articles and get information about Bob's books. That's Bob Siegel, SIEGEL.net.
Looking to get around all those traffic jams? While you figure out a new route, take a moment and chew it over with a Twix. Crunchy cookie, creamy chocolate, chewy caramel. When you need a moment, chew it over with a Twix.
Need to turn a bad night into a good morning? Start with a tasty McGriddle sandwich and a cup of coffee from McDonald's. McDonald's, I'm loving it.
KCBQ San Diego, where your opinion counts. A service of Salem Communications. News Talk 11-7 KCBQ.
Sylvan Learning Center, where learning feels good. Call 1-800-EDUCATE.